Hey everybody, welcome back to your favorite Saturday afternoon Packers podcast. I'm Andy Smith, the Packer noob.
And I'm Jake Speckard, the Packer veteran. Andy, it's good to have you back. We missed you last week talking about Brady and the Patriots, who I know you love so much.
I am actually a big Patriots fan. It's probably better that I wasn't on the podcast.
I did say last week, Andy's a pretty big Patriots fan, so I don't know how people would react to that. I mean, you said that before, so yeah. It shouldn't be a surprise. Anyway,
to be clear, I like them and the organization. I think it's very impressive, their run of excellence. I think it's well run top to bottom. Not in the sense of fan, like, you know, I cheer for them or whatever, but I always think it's crazy how much beef and hate they get around the league simply for being excellent. And don't talk to me about, not Watergate, what is it called?
Spygate.
Every team does that. And Aaron Rodgers messes with the pressure in balls. So I don't really... All that stuff, I think, is just because they're excellent. That's why they get focused. Anyway, we can move on past that.
Right.
So, well, I mean, not the game, obviously.
All right. But. So let's talk about, speaking of the Patriots, let's talk about that game on Sunday. Didn't go the way I thought it was going to go. Again, Packers looked, I mean, they hung with the Patriots for three quarters. I mean, they fell behind a couple times, but came back and tied up. It was 17-17. You know, it's fourth quarter starts. They're in Patriots territory. They hand off to Aaron Jones, who's been playing great again. And then he fumbles. Patriots recover, and they go down the field and score. Force the Packers to a 3-and-out. They go and score again. Packers can't come back after that. So while it wasn't as definitive as the Rams turnover, where, you know, Montgomery fumbles and that's the game. Again, a late turnover cost the Packers a chance to win the game, and especially in the Patriots game, to go ahead for the first time. And really kind of put some pressure on the Patriots, which, of course, it's Tom Brady. He thrives on pressure, so it's not like he's never been there before. But, Andy, what's your take on this latest Packer-Patriot matchup?
I have an analogy for the Packers this year. This may or may not work, but it just popped into my head. I feel like the Packers, when they play good teams this year, are like a middle school child playing their parent in a sport. Like, you're kind of a match for them. You're kind of good enough and coordinated enough to put up a fight. You stick with it, but almost every time the parent wins. And that's what I feel like the Packers have been this year. They play good teams. They have flashes of goodness and then some big mistakes, and they end up losing the game. It felt that way against the Rams, and I felt this week with the Patriots. It's the same thing. We sort of kept with them at times. We showed some of our good talent, but overall just wasn't enough to get it done. And that kind of feels how this Packers team is going to be in 2018.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you on that. It seems like...
How's that analogy? Was that a good analogy?
I like the analogy. Okay. I think it works.
Analogies don't always work.
The only thing I think where the analogy runs into trouble is usually, you know, when you're a middle school person playing your parent, I mean, I don't know if the parent's, like, going all out to try to win unless you're my dad, who, you know...
By middle school, you have a little pride. Like in elementary school, you kind of let them play.
Right. But, you know, and yeah, I still think it's a good analogy. we'll just say that. But yeah, I just think with the Packers, yeah, it just seems like the fourth quarter, man, it's just been a curse. I mean, you can even go back to the Vikings game, you know, going to the fourth quarter, I believe they're winning 20-8, and then the Vikings come back, and of course the game ends in a tie. We know there's lots of crazy circumstances around that with the non-Clay Matthews penalty and the missing of the field goals by Daniel Carlson and Mason Crosby. But, yeah, the fourth quarter just, man, has really come up to bite us. And, again, in that game, first three quarters, Packers looked pretty good. They had that game under control, you know, even more so than these other two games where they were kind of just neck and neck with the Rams and the Patriots. But it really kind of ties into this larger question, Andy, of what do we make of this team? So the Packers are 3-4-1 at this point in the year. And you know, you can look at these last two games and say, okay, well, they played two of the best teams in the league. They hung with them until a very untimely turnover, and then things kind of fell apart after that. I mean, they definitely fell apart against the Rams and, well, against the Patriots too. But you could also look at the record and say, well, look at the three wins we have. So they beat Buffalo in a shutout, which Buffalo is not very good. That's a game that they definitely should have won, and they did. And then you look at the wins against the 49ers, which required a miracle Aaron Rodgers last minute drive that was helped by a sort of questionable penalty call on Richard Sherman. And then, of course, the first win of the season against the Bears that required, you know, the most dramatic of miracles, in that the Packers were down 20-0 in the third quarter and came back to win that game. Another Aaron Rodgers miracle. So if you take out those two Aaron Rodgers miracles, we only have one, what I would call a good win on the season. So you take those away, we're 1-6-1, and that's not a very good record.
And it could easily be 1-7, that Vikings game, if Carlson knocks one of those in.
One of those last two, yeah. We could easily be 1-7 at this point.
I mean, I think the eye test tells us the Packers are a bad team, or at the very least a mediocre team. And I think because of Aaron Rodgers, we're at least record-wise an okay team, you know what I mean? And I think that's a problem. And this has been my tune for a long time, even in the preseason and even last year. I don't think the Packer organization as a whole is doing enough to win right now with Aaron Rodgers. I don't think that they are making the tough moves, giving up draft picks in the future to make this team Super Bowl contenders now. Aaron Rodgers will not be around forever. I still don't think Packer fans understand that, or maybe the Packer organization wants to think about that, but he will not be there forever. And you need a great to amazing quarterback these days to win the Super Bowl. Maybe need is a strong word, but
I would say need is the right term.
You're obviously in a place right now where you have one of the best quarterbacks of all time. Get at least one, and I think two more Super Bowl, at least appearances, before you lose him. And they're not doing enough. And I'm still pissed off about that Khalil Mack thing. I'm still pissed off that there wasn't a huge change in the offense that I think there needed to be. I'm still pissed off that even sort of bit players like Ty Montgomery and Ha Ha Clinton Dix, who, okay, aren't, you know, amazing maybe at their areas, and I know people have complained particularly about Ha Ha Clinton Dix at times, or that he gets glorified in the media or whatever, but no matter what, he helps on the defensive end, and those trades for fourth-round picks or whatever being made for future teams when this is the team that matters right now, and with Aaron Rodgers on it, it's not going to get to a better place than it is as far as contending for a Super Bowl. So I still feel that way, and I think thinking for the future is a dumb thing right now. And it's unfortunate that because of the way this team is, that's how we have to think. We're already probably thinking about next year, right? We'll talk about how some of the young wide receivers are doing well, which is great. We'll talk about how some of the young defensive players are starting to come into their own, which is great. But that shouldn't be the highlight of a team. They should be young players that are contributing to Super Bowl contenders that are full of solid veterans or at least good bit parts. And that's just not what this team is right now.
Yeah, it's really not. And it is the kind of the MO of the Packers organization to, you know, have a lot of draft picks to, you know, keep the team contending. Yeah, I mean, there's some things you can talk about, whether it's the Khalil Mack thing and, you know, and for a lot of teams, you know, looking at what the Packers did in the offseason, going getting Jimmy Graham and, you know, picking up some of their veterans, like, that was a big deal. Like, the Packers don't normally do that too often. I mean, of course, a couple years ago, they picked up Julius Peppers, which was kind of a big deal because, again, not something the Packers do very often. But for most teams, that's like, okay, so you signed one guy, you know, big deal. Yeah, I mean, I look at the Packers record and, you know, the narrative that came out last year where the Packers are the Cleveland Browns without Aaron Rodgers, and with him they're, you know, they can be better. It just, the thing I still don't understand is how you can go from, so I mean the last time the Packers were really, I mean I would say an upper like echelon NFL team was probably 2014. I mean, I really thought they were the best team in the league that year. They should have gone to the Super Bowl if not for a catastrophic failure in Seattle. Like, how it's progressed from then to now. I mean, most of the core guys from that 2014 team are still around. You know, maybe not all of them, but, you know, I mean, obviously they've all gotten 4 years older if they're still here, which plays into it, too. I just don't know where, you know, what happened. I mean, 2015, they were kind of mediocre, and then we made a late run and got into the playoffs. 2016, obviously, they made it to the NFC Championship game, which was really fun, but, you know, they ran out of gas against Atlanta. And then, obviously, last year, Rodgers getting hurt, and then having to watch Brett Hundley for most of the season was really rough. I just don't know where exactly the disconnect is between the 2014 team and this team. Like, why aren't we still, you know, producing at that level? It's confusing, to say the least. But, yeah, I guess overall where I'm going with this is that the Packers are definitely not, I would say, a Super Bowl contender right now. I mean, they're 3-4-1. I guess that's not really, you know, deep analysis or anything. You know, the thing is, with every game, it's like, well, they probably, like, these last two games, I mean, I picked the Packers to lose both games, you did too, but we always, you know, I at least I said in both episodes, you know, Packers could win, and it's really because of Aaron Rodgers. Like, we've seen what he did against the Bears and the 49ers, you know, I really believe that if Ty Montgomery doesn't fumble against the Rams, you know, I think it's a, there's a very good chance the Packers go on and win the game. Aaron Rodgers, you know, that's what he does. So it's rough because you feel like your expectations at this point should be that the Packers are going to lose against the better teams, but you just, you don't ever want to say that because Rodgers is such a great talent. But yeah, overall, I guess I would say that the Packers are not doing what we, you know, obviously the expectations of the Packer fan base because of Aaron Rodgers have always been really high. You know, we want him to get another Super Bowl, so we predict the Packers going to the Super Bowl every year. And I just, at this point, that's not a realistic expectation anymore. Unless something changes and we, you know, suddenly make the last two games the standard to play the rest of the year, I mean, we're not even going to make the playoffs at this point. So
it's an uphill battle. We're third in the NFC North. We'll get there. And good teams are ahead of us and a good team's behind us. I think the Lions, when they put it together, can be a good team. They're sort of like the Packers in that way. This is not going to be easy, even though we talked about this being, we're in the middle of the hardest stretch of the season for sure. It doesn't get like easier in the second half. Well, maybe it gets easier, but it doesn't get easy the second half of the season on our schedule. There's no let up from here on in. And I just don't see a way that they're going to put together enough wins to make the playoffs. And that is a lost year.
Yeah. Now I agree with that, but I always think back to 2010, the year the Packers, last time Packers won the Super Bowl, Aaron Rodgers' only championship. You know, Rodgers, they lose to the Lions in a game where Rodgers is out with a concussion. I remember at that point, I was like, look, Rodgers has it's his second concussion of the season. You know, he's going to miss the Patriots game. I'm like, put him on the shelf. It's a lost season. And then, you know, because of several miraculous circumstances, the Packers end up making a run to the Super Bowl. You know, you look at 2013, Rodgers gets hurt with his first collarbone injury. You know, the Packers kind of stay afloat with Matt Flynn. And you think, okay, there's no way the Lions are, you know, a couple games ahead. There's no way the Packers are going to make the playoffs. And they end up getting the last game of the regular season. Of course, they lost in the first round of the 49ers. But, you know, we all thought it wasn't going to happen, and it did. And then, obviously, the most recent example, run the table. You know, Packers are 4-6, you know, right after Thanksgiving. And everyone's like, well, you know, stick a fork in them. They're done. And then they win their next day games and make it to the NFC Championship game. So while I don't disagree with anything you're saying, like, it's definitely going to be hard. I don't see it happening. Because of recent history, I have to say that it might. You know, I mean, it could. And I guess that's what we're going on as Packer fans right now, is just that lingering hope because we have Aaron Rodgers, because maybe, you know, we've done this before, that we can turn this season around, even if it doesn't look all that likely.
I hope that's true. I still see that the fact that you could have a list that long of those amazing comebacks, which is great. I'm so glad we did all of that. I think speaks to Packers organizationally being somewhat flawed. And I think that's the bigger story around the Brady Rodgers thing. We heard a lot about that this week. Those two players, they're both great players. They're both great talents. And both in very different ways, which makes them hard to compare. Tom Brady very much is a pocket passer, and Rodgers is very much at his best when he's rolling and moving in and outside the pocket. So it's very different. Both great players. I think it's a showing of a difference organizationally that the Patriots, with an elite talent, have just dominated the NFL for a generation. And the Packers have had to make last-second runs to the playoffs for a generation, having this fantastic elite talent. And I think that's the greater thing here. I mean, getting back to sort of the trade deadline, like, the Packers weren't brought up in, like, Demaryius Thomas stuff. Like, I know we have good young receivers, but again, this year, are those guys going to develop enough to be a big talent? Maybe so, but maybe not. No one's going to sniff at Dez Bryant. I know, obviously, he got hurt in practice, but, like, these sort of things, I think the Packers are not taking enough risks for where we are right now in this moment. And that probably gets to the next big questions, especially if the Packers fall more and more out of playoff contention. Again, hopefully they don't. But if they don't make the playoffs, I think McCarthy is gone.
I would agree. And, you know, I still kind of think that it was out of the Packers last offseason to basically clean house, except for McCarthy and a couple other guys. I think, you know, you start to wonder how much Aaron Rodgers had to do with that. And especially, you know, there's been a lot of talk about their relationship this season. It seems pretty frosty to me at this point. Like, I don't know if they're really, you know, they say everything's fine, but I don't know if I believe that anymore.
Didn't Rodgers say something really, like, alluding to, like, poor game planning? Didn't he say, like, we followed the game plan when someone asked about, like, I forget exactly the context of that quote.
Yeah, it was in a post-game press conference. Yeah, he said, you know, he basically said that he didn't think the game plan was that great, and more subtle terms, but also not subtle enough where everyone kind of knew what he was talking about. He didn't, like, you know, he didn't come out and say it outright, but yeah. But yeah, I think if the Packers don't make the playoffs, I think McCarthy's got to go. You know, I like him as a person. I think, you know, I think he's a good coach. I just think it seems like maybe he doesn't have the ear of the team anymore. I think his offense has just gotten stagnant and everyone knows what we're doing. And we need somebody like a Sean McVay or a Sean Payton or some other brilliant offensive-minded coach named Sean to, I think we need something like that if we're gonna, you know, if McCarthy does in fact lose his job at the end of the year. I just, you know, he brought back Joe Philbin, which, you know, he was the offensive coordinator. I said this before on a previous episode that he was the offensive coordinator during 2011 when the Packers had one of the best offenses of all time. But that was 7 years ago, and the NFL is a totally different league now, and you need more innovative thinking. And I'm not saying that they just, you know, they went back, they brought Philbin back and said, hey, remember your 2011 playbook? We're just going to do that, because obviously this offense does not look like 2011. But, you know, I think, I don't really know if that was the right move to make. But yeah, overall, I agree. I think if, yeah, the Packers don't make the playoffs, I think they need to look for a different direction at head coach.
Our parent company, or I guess that's whatever the term is, Pack to the Future released a list, and I forget who the author was, but a list of potential replacements for McCarthy if he is fired. And my favorite by far, and this is funny because we have someone close to us personally who would hate this, but the name I liked most on that list was Jim Harbaugh. I think that would be awesome. Obviously not an offensive-minded guy, but a guy who brings very clear energy, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And then you bring in an offensive coordinator that is young and has some ideas about the new NFL. I think that would be a potent combo for the Packers and really switch some things up. Obviously, who knows what's going to happen? This is all premature, but
right.
That was posted by Jake. Looked this up for me while I was talking about it. Jim Weidner, a list of possible replacements for Mike McCarthy.
So yeah, so you can go check that out on Pack to the Future. Jim, hopefully you're pronouncing your last name right. Hopefully you're very German. Weidner.
Weidner.
But yeah, so there's a couple interesting lists on here. One name that I know has been thrown a lot, John DeFilippo, who's the Vikings offensive coordinator. Everyone thinks he's going to get a head coaching offer this year. Interesting article, you know, just looking at different, even guys from college and, you know, maybe some names that we shouldn't consider. But yeah, I mean, I think if the season does not end in at least a playoff berth, I think maybe this list will become extremely relevant to the Packers. So let's kind of wrap this up again about the Patriots game, Andy. So obviously when the Packers lose, we don't do Unsung Hero. We do the We Lost, but kind of just, you know, trying to take something positive out of it. So for me this week, the positive in this game is Marquez Valdes-Scantling. You know, had 3 catches for 100 yards. He, you know, he's the kind of receiver the Packers haven't had in a while. He's 6'4". He's really fast. He obviously has Rodgers' trust. Rodgers is throwing him the ball, you know, quite a lot. And now that Jarmo Allison, who's been placed on injured reserve, is gone for the season, Marquez Valdes-Scantling will be the de facto third receiver and basically a starter in this offense. So the fact that he has made enough strides to get to that point where Rodgers has confidence in him, I think is huge. Obviously, you know, he's not Demaryius Thomas or those other receivers who got traded at the deadline. But he is still somebody, I think, who can make a valuable contribution. And he brings a skill set that the other two Packer receivers don't have.
Yeah, and I don't think that's a downgrade, Geronimo MVS. I mean, I think it's sad because we like Allison, of course. But
I'm not trying to throw any shit at Geronimo Allison. I think he's, you know, he was obviously a guy Rodgers had a lot of faith in and would go to a lot, but... You know, he's hurt, he's out, so MVS, it's next man up.
We have confidence he can step in and do that job.
Right. And, you know, he's a deep threat. He's a vertical guy that, you know, maybe we really haven't had for, at least not with the terms of pure speed that he brings to the table. So, yeah, so the Packers obviously did lose to the Patriots 31-17, 3-4-1 the season. Andy, let's see what the rest of the NFC North did in our NFC North watch.
NFC North watch.
Nice. So let's start with our good old friends, the Vikings. They beat the Lions 24-9. That game was really never. I know that seems like maybe kind of a close score. I watched some of it. It really was not that close. Lions, again, not a great team.
But the Vikings defense looks really good again, too, which is scary.
Yeah, they seem to have rounded back into last season's form after looking pretty bad, I would say, the first, you know, 3 or 4 games of the year. But so they are now 3-5-1, and they are on bye this week.
5-3-1. Did you say 3-5-1?
I did say 3-5. Yeah, excuse me. 5-3-1, and they are on bye this week. so they get a chance to rest up. The Bears played the Bills in Buffalo, and they won that game 41-9. I believe they had two pick sixes in that game. Again, that game was not real close, and again, Buffalo's not very good.
Don't forget about the Bears in our calculations for making the playoffs, though. They have stuck around. I think a lot of us thought they might be a flash in the pan early in the season and sort of trail off. It's actually the Lions who've done that.
Yeah, and actually, so I saw a stat. Mitchell Trubisky, I think, has thrown he's like fifth in the league in touchdown passes since week four. He's thrown 14 touchdowns since week four. So he's, honestly, he's a young guy. He's still improving. So, Bears are, I think they're, at this point, they could be contenders for a playoff spot towards the end of the year. But so they're now 5-3 in first place in the division. And they will play the Lions in Chicago this weekend. And speaking of the Lions, they, of course, like we just said, they lost to the Vikings 24-9. They dropped to 3-5. And as we just mentioned, they will play at Chicago. That, I believe, is a noon game. So if you live in the upper Midwest, you can actually watch all three NFC North teams in action this week. Lions and Bears at noon, and then Packers playing the Miami Dolphins, Andy, at 3:25 in the afternoon.
Mighty, mighty Dolphins.
The mighty Dolphins. So the Dolphins, Andy, we were talking about this a little bit before.
Not so mighty.
I mean, they're strange. They're in an interesting spot. I mean, they're 5-4, I believe. So looking at their stats on ESPN, they're 28th in offensive yards per game. They're 26th in defensive yards allowed per game, which is not great. I mean, that's bottom of the barrel in the league. But yet they're 5-4. They started 3-0. Everyone was kind of talking about them like, ooh, maybe they're pretty good. You know, but you look at who they played. They played the Titans, who, you know, are kind of an average team, maybe a little bit above average. Then they played the Jets, who I don't think are that great. And then they played the Raiders, who we all know now, you know, we thought might be really good, but are really bad, probably one of the worst teams in the league. Then they played the Patriots. They lost to them. They've lost to the Lions, who we said before aren't very good. They beat the Bears in overtime, which looks pretty impressive to this point. And then they've beaten the Jets again, which, again, they're not very good. So they're 5-4. They've had stretches of looking very good and very bad. They're playing with their backup quarterback. You know, Ryan Tannehill's been out for, I think, a month now. Brock Osweiler has been starting in his place. You know, they've only got one win on the road, which I mean, we shouldn't be too critical of because the Packers have zero wins on the road to this point. And they're a hard team to read. Like I said, they don't rank very high in either offense or defense in terms of yards allowed or yards gained. But it's just, I don't know what to make of this team.
Yeah, we were talking before the podcast that the Dolphins, looking at their schedule and their results, they basically just do what's expected. They beat the bad teams. They lose to the teams that they probably should lose to, with the one outlier possibly being losing to Detroit.
And that was at home, too.
But they're pretty chalk as far as like what you expect from them you get, which I think is good news for the Pack this week, because I think Dolphins are probably going to be expected to lose in Lambeau Field against the Packers, and we badly need to win this game. You know, it's overused, a must-win, and this probably isn't a must-win, but man, if they lose this game, a lot of hope is taken out of the sails. Wow, I'm really mixing metaphors there. You guys know what I mean.
Taking the wind out of the sails, yeah. I mean, the must-win thing, obviously, it is overused. It's a very, you know, it's a cliche for a reason. I think it is a must-win. I mean, I even think I brought this up when we talked about this stretch coming out the bye week. It's the only home game we have in November. You know, it's by far the easiest, and I, you know, again, easiest, I'm using air quotes, you can't see, listeners. It's the easiest team we've had to play, or we will play in this first, you know, 5 weeks after the bye in terms of, you know, record and how good the teams are doing. Also, you know, coming in off of this game, we have to go to Seattle on Thursday and play right away.
Seattle's on fire right now.
And Seattle is playing very well. They've kind of regained some of their mojo. Of course, you know, Seattle, playing in Seattle at CenturyLink is a tough place to play. So this might even have a feel of a trap game. I mean, it could be very easy to overlook the Dolphins, even though they are 5-4, and, you know, that's a better record than the Packers have. But it could be easy to overlook them and be looking towards this game against, you know, our rival Seattle, who, you know, we've won the last couple of games against them, but those were both in Green Bay. So
it's crazy. So we're recording this on Saturday. This just hit me. By next week at this time, the Packers season could be over. If they lose both of those games, right? Season's over at that point.
Yeah.
We'd be 3-7-1?
It would be likely that would be the case. Again, who knows? But
if we win out at that point, we're 8-7-1? No, 8. I mean, I don't. who knows? This is all hypothetical, but if they lose both of these games, and we'll definitely do a Packers Law in between. We'll make it a point to do it. We might even do it on Sunday night so we can get that out to you before the game on Thursday. But it's a huge week.
Yeah, it is. This is a big stretch. So, I mean, again, looking at the Dolphins, I don't really know what to make of them. One player I will say to keep your eye on. Now, he is listed as questionable with an Achilles heel injury, kind of weird, vague description. But wide receiver Jakeem Grant, who I think is officially the third receiver on the team, he's the kind of receiver the Packers typically struggle to guard against. He's 5'7". He runs a 4.34 40-yard dash. So he's basically the small and fast type, which, again, Packers just can't seem to guard these guys. He can absolutely fly. He can just run right past you. You can't even get a body on him because, you know, he's so quick and fast and small. It's going to be interesting because Kevin King has been ruled out of this game with a hamstring. And actually, both teams really, I was looking at the injury report, both teams have a lot of injuries coming into this game. So I don't know who they're going to put Jaire Alexander on. If they're going to, you know, I would think he would be the best matchup against Grant, but he won't be on the field all the time. I imagine they'll probably put him on Kenny Stills.
Who's the number one receiver? Sorry.
I think it's Kenny Stills. Okay. At least, so in terms of receptions, or actually, you know, based on receptions, the number one receiver for the Dolphins actually might be Danny Amendola. Yeah, who does lead the team this year with 40 catches and 51 targets. Actually, the guy who has the next most targets is running back Kenyon Drake, who I think is a pretty good player. I thought it was weird that the Dolphins thought they had to sign Frank Gore in the offseason, who I think is really on his last legs. Maybe they just want him to, like, maybe they didn't think Drake was a, you know, good enough professional and they wanted Gore for the locker room reasons. Yeah, so I mean, it's probably Danny Amendola, then Kenny Stills. But Jakeem Grant actually has more catches than Stills.
It's a very balanced offense, actually, looking at these numbers. They use a lot of targets.
It is. And Devontae Parker, who's, you know, kind of been a talent that they've talked about, he really hasn't done much. I mean, he's been hurt on and off. Actually, the guy who was really explosive for them was Albert Wilson until he went on IR with a hip injury. So we're actually probably lucky we don't have to play against him. He's also a small, fast guy. So I wonder if maybe Jakeem Grant has kind of stepped into his role and they're trying to use him like that. But I think he could be a major headache potentially for the Packers on Sunday. So I don't know if they'll put Jaire Alexander on him and hope that, you know, somebody, because I mean, Danny Amendola is older. So, you know, maybe we can put Tremont on him, although I know he's playing safety. But yeah, cornerback's going to be an issue for the Packers with King out. And, you know, I mean, both teams, yeah, a lot of injuries.
It goes without saying, though, the Packers can't let Brock Osweiler
beat them.
I mean, the game plan, I'm sure, is going to be take away the run, make Osweiler throw it, and put a lot of pressure on a quarterback that is prone to making bad decisions, right? That's got to be the game plan.
Well, yeah, and I mean, Brock Osweiler, not, you know, he's a pretty big guy. I think he's like 6'6", maybe he's even taller than that. Very statuesque. Ken has a little bit of mobility. He's not totally rooted in the ground, but I think I'd rather have him trying to make throws on the run than him standing back there with his huge frame. So obviously, you know, that's kind of why I said last week against the Patriots, like, make Tom Brady throw on the run, which they did not do a great job of. Especially, it was really weird. After having 5 sacks against the Rams and then having 1 or none against the Patriots, you know, that was kind of jarring. But I think that the game plan, okay, so they had 2 sacks. I take that back. I think the game plan, yeah, will be similar, you know, make Osweiler beat you because, well, at one point he was maybe the future in Denver. I think, you know, that's obviously gone by the wayside. I don't think he's that great, but obviously he's doing enough for the Dolphins to win some games.
Is Tannehill injured or is this a coach's?
No, he's injured. He's apparently dealing with some shoulder pain in his throwing shoulder.
I thought that's what, I wasn't sure though.
You know, he's a guy who's been very injury prone. You know, obviously he's talented too. I mean, he's 6'4", he can throw the deep ball. I know I have a Dolphins, there's a friend of mine on Facebook who's a Dolphins fan who absolutely hates Ryan Tannehill's guts. Because he hasn't lived up to his, you know, his draft place or anything at this point, which is true. But yeah, Dolphins, again, hard team to read. But I think because it is basically a must win for the Packers, got to get this only home game win in November. And because of all these circumstances, I am actually, I guess we're getting into predictions now. I'm going to predict the Packers to win. Like we said, must win game. You know, Brock Osweiler is not that great. The Dolphins as a team, even though they are 5-4, aren't that great. They're probably still better than us, but they're not that great. Packers can win this game. They should win this game. It's going to be cold at Lambeau. You know, there's the whole thing about teams from Florida having to play in the snow and the cold.
Yeah, I wonder if the snow will still be on the ground at that point.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. For those of you who don't know, we got a ton of snow in Minnesota and Wisconsin over the last couple days.
Right now, as we speak, Saturday afternoon, it is pretty heavily on the ground still.
It is, yes. It's you can tell something happened.
I don't know, what, 2 inches, 3 inches, something like that.
A couple inches, yeah. So because of that, I'm picking the Packers to win, and I think they're going to win 27-14.
Yeah, I mean, everything you said basically is what I was going to say. I do think we should be a better team than the Dolphins, especially because it is now cold. They're finally at home at Lambeau, and they simply cannot lose this game. And the veterans on this team, like Davante Adams and Aaron Rodgers, know that, and I think we'll push Clay Matthews will push their team. So I'm going to say we win, and I'm going to reach deep down into the hopeful side of myself and say we actually win this for once handily and comfortably. Reminiscent of the Bills game, everything finally comes together. We win 35-17. Is that what you said? No. Okay.
No, I said 24-17. So you're good. So yeah.
Got self-conscious that I just totally agreed with you on every point.
So that's going to do it for this week's episode. As always, you can find every episode of Packers and Law at packtothefuture.com. You can find that article we talked about from Jim Vidner about possible replacements for McCarthy. There's fantasy news. There's all kinds of stuff on there. Go check them out. You can find all of our past episodes if you want to go back to when we started, which was August of 2016.
See how bad we are predicting the season.
Yeah.
I think I said a lot of losses. I don't know where I'm at currently, but probably we didn't guess the tie for sure, so that really put us out there.
We'll have to sort that out and see where we're standing next week. But yeah, check us out at Pack to the Future. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Packers in Law. And we will talk to you guys next week, early next week.